What up, Dre? Pump up the volume.
Love
pump up the
radio.
Volume.
You know what time it is? You know what time it is? I think I got this vibe perfectly. Here we go. Woo! You gotta adjust your dial.
What's happening, Los Angeles? New Orleans?
What?
Atlanta? New York? Talking sports with the 12th man, baby.
Your time is up. My time is now.
Right.
You can't see me. My time is now.
For my people in Houston, Hawaii.
You know, we got to get this party started. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Dre, Andre, joined by Robert Ford. Looking forward to having a fantastic night of Talking Sports with you guys. As always, today is Wednesday, June the 6th. You know the drill. We are live in a lot of places. You can catch us. Facebook, 12th Man Sports. Also via Twitter, at 12th Man. We got a lot of things to discuss. Rob Ford, you doing all right this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. Doing great. What's going on in your world? We got a lot of things to talk about this evening. I know you want to set the table so we can jump right into it because you all know our time is tight.
Time is tight. Well, real quick, let me set the table. As Robert said before, what we're going to talk about, obviously, NBA playoffs are going big and hard. We're going to do a quick recap about what's going on with that. I was going to talk about how should the Ravens handle Terrell Suggs, his injury playing basketball. Going to talk about the Saints insider, Scott Chandler, hopefully I got that right, Rob, about how the NFL banners are being blown way out of proportion. Got a little Saints insider on that one. We're going to talk about some Seahawks and their punishment doled out by the NFL. I guess they're getting a little bit of that as well. Some NFC, AFC predictions for the West. And the NFL mock draft is still going on. This is post-NBA
mock draft, that is. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to say NBA. I apologize. Yeah, NBA mock draft. Thank you, Rob. Post-lottery, if you will. So, wow. Rob, you all right? You good? Let's get the party started here. Let's get this jump
right
in.
Oh, yeah, let's get it rolling, baby. We got a tight game going right here with the Game 6, the Spurs and OKC. We all know OKC is a tough place to go and get a road win. The Spurs got off to a great start. You know, right before the half, the Spurs were up by 18 points, and Kevin Durant hit a three-pointer right before the half. They cut it down to 15. And it looks like that momentum just is carried over into the second half for OKC. And now they're up by one here in the fourth quarter. I know there's still a lot of basketball to be played. But OKC right now has all the momentum. And they're in their home gym. And so this is could be an entertaining finish. But right now it looks like OKC has all the momentum and the possibility of finishing off the Spurs here tonight. And moving on to the NBA Finals. But, you know, there's more basketball to be played.
Yeah, good points. And like I said, if you're watching the Spurs, I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit. It's been a valiant effort by them. I don't think it's they should feel slighted by any means because OKC is a very explosive team. Do you think it's a problem? I guess kind of what do you think the deal is? It's kind of like the Spurs a little bit older, or kind of what do you think the problem is, how come they're not able to stop OKC, Rob?
Well, I mean, Kevin Durant is probably the most unguardable player in the NBA. He can shoot the ball, he can penetrate, he's long and lanky, and, I mean, this guy's, you know, and he knows how to take over the ball game when he has to, and they're getting it done on the defensive end with their length, and you know, and you foul a guy, he's almost automatic 2 points from the foul line. And I do think he gets a lot of calls, but that's what happens when you're a superstar in the league. You will get a lot of calls. We all know going back to the Jordan days, you know, he did get a lot of calls, but Durant has reached that status. And one thing about this OKC team, you're talking about a young ball club, Durant, 23 years old, Westbrook and Harden are both 22. This team has the capability, if they can keep these three guys together and keep the right parts with them, I mean, this team has a chance for a dynasty.
Yeah, a lot of things that we keep hearing about, you're not sure if Westbrook's going to be back next year because some contract. I don't know if they have enough money to pay all both those guys, too. But, you know, hopefully they'll keep them intact because, as mentioned, very young, but very, very talented. I think Scotty Brooks has grown up figuring out how to coach here. The whole team has grown up because, obviously, we watched the first two games versus the Spurs. You pretty much thought the Spurs were going to run away with it. But OKC is just kind of imposing their will on the Spurs, and this is a very, very impressive showing by them. They're doing their thing.
Yes, and I mean, they're really looking like they have the capability to pull away here in the fourth quarter. The Spurs look totally out of sync right now as well. And getting back to your early question, you know, as far as age is concerned, I don't know if it's age in the series or more so the Spurs just don't have the athletes that Thunders have. And I think they just don't have the athleticism. And, I mean, Duncan is 36, but if you really look at these games, he's actually playing really well. And but I think where they're hurting is on the wing positions. They don't have the athletes that OKC have at the wings positions. You know, the Durants and the Hardens especially, that's what they don't seem like they have an answer for those kind of players. And I mean, this OKC team, I think, you know, before this series started, I think you and I both said whoever wins this series is going to win the NBA title. And if OKC moves on, I don't see anybody from the East being able to beat this team. First of all, I mean, it's hard to go to this building and get a win.
Mm-hmm.
They have great home support.
Yeah, like I said, just a great story, too. And, you know, moving from Seattle, they kind of stamp their will upon the city, if you will. And just very impressive. Real quick, for those who want to call into the show and definitely give us your thoughts about the NBA playoffs or anything that we talked about on the show topics, the number to call in, toll-free, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Now, hopefully we were able to kind of to finish up your thoughts with switching gears to the Heat and Celtics series. And like you said, unfortunately, LeBron James keeps getting beat down. You talked about Kevin Durant, being able to take over a game. And what do you think the problem is with the Heat? Unfortunately, we talked about it earlier, 46 minutes, LeBron is on it. But for some reason, the last 2 minutes, I don't know if it's just either first to Wade or I don't know what's going on, but the Heat are just not able to pull off again against a very, very tough-minded Celtics team.
Yes, I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to, of course, the Boston Celtics and the way they're playing, they're competing. And I think right now Boston has a little bit more fire in their eye. They have a little bit more nastiness to them. And in Miami, I think a lot of the guys on the team they're a little bit too nice. And, you know, hopefully our listeners don't take this the wrong way, but I think in sports you just have to have a little bit of nastiness, a little bit of an edge. And I think Boston just has a little bit of that. And plus the bottom line is this. I think LeBron James and Kevin Durant are probably the top two players in the NBA. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You can say they're 1A and 1B. You know, you can have your pick who's 1A and 1B. But the bottom line is I still think the Miami Heat has flaws on their roster. I mean, they've been going out in this series with Ronnie Turiaf as a starting center. They've been going out with Shane Battier as a starting power forward. And Mario Chalmers, I think, is playing pretty well. So I'm not going to really say he's a liability, but I still think this team has flaws to their roster. And I think LeBron James, of course, is going to get a lot of heat. But, I mean, the bottom line is this. LeBron James had 30 points and 13 rebounds last night. There's just not too many players in this league that can put those kind of numbers up. And so I think he's doing all he can. I just don't think he's still getting enough help. And even Dwayne Wade has been very inconsistent in these playoffs. And,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's not shooting the ball very well. He's taking a lot of bad shots. And I hate to say it, but I almost think LeBron James is almost in the same situation he was in Cleveland.
Wow. As far as what? What do you mean, the same situation?
Oh, as far as lack of help. And
wow.
You just can't win championships in this game as a one-man band. I mean, you just cannot do it. I mean, Michael Jordan had Pippen, Rodman, Pippen and Grant. Magic had Kareem and Worthy, and Magic had a deep bench with Michael Cooper, Byron Scott. He had players. Bird had McHale, Parrish, Danny Ainge, Dennis Johnson, Cornbread Maxwell off the bench. And so you had a great team of players. I mean, even OKC. I mean, you got a big three on this team. All three of them are athletic and can run up and down the floor. And think about this. They have some physical big men in the paint, Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka. Miami's running out there with Ronnie Turiaf and Shane Battier. Who would you rather have?
Yeah, you're right. You're very right. It's pretty interesting, too. I like how you talk about it, too. And kind of if you talk about, you know, how different teams are kind of shaped, if you will, you know, it looks like Oklahoma City has kind of been built through the draft, you know, or through free agents, you know, not a lot. They kind of, like, built it slowly. Like, obviously, they got Kevin Durant, kind of had him. He's been around for 4 years. This is his fourth year. And they added, obviously, adding Russell Westbrook. You know, he's kind of, you know, a couple years after him. And they obviously grabbed James Harden 2 years in, and they just did a great job of building this team and then adding, you know, obviously a couple of pieces. You know, I think the guy with the most experience on the team is Derek Fisher and Anazi Muhammad. So they have done a great job of building this team and kind of crafting it to be, you know, where they are now. I mean, obviously, if you look at the Heat, they've always had, you know, Dwayne Wade, and then you kind of add different free agents, but they really haven't built that team, you know, kind of similar to how the Thunder's built. But, you know, as mentioned, I've been on the bandwagon since the beginning. I've been calling. You always know that I'm a big fan of Kevin Durant. And like I said, the way that they are playing, as you said, I don't think anyone can knock them out, either the Celtics and or the Heat. So I think, obviously, LeBron's going to be disappointed if he goes. And the last question for you is to wrap this topic up, Rob. If the Heat lose, do you think that Eric Spoelstra is going to keep his job, or is he in jeopardy of losing his job?
Well, I mean, you know, I talked about the flawed roster that the Miami Heat has. I think, you know, I really believe this. I think Spoelstra is doing a solid job based on what he has. But ultimately, you know, he's going to be judged on the fact that he has LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And I think Pat Riley's going to make a move. I think the Miami Heat fans are going to be calling for a move. So I think the organization is going to try to make a move to please the fans. So I really believe he's going to get fired. And I don't know if Miami is going to try to make a pitch to Phil Jackson to see if he can come out of retirement, or if Pat Riley is going to come out of the booth and coach the team. And I know Phil Jackson is in talks with the Orlando Magic. For those of you all who don't know, Orlando Magic is trying to hire Phil Jackson to be the general manager. And also that would mean that Brian Shaw will be the head coach and Scottie Pippen will be the lead assistant. So that's in the works. We don't know if this is going to take place. Listeners out there, just stay tuned and, you know, tune in next week. Hopefully we have some updates for you.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. And then also it's very unfortunate, too, what's going on with that, too, obviously, with, interesting scenario, too. I guess let's go ahead and wrap up, Rob. Let's get to the next subject, talk about Terrell Suggs and his injury, and how do you think the Ravens should handle this? For those that don't know, obviously, Terrell was playing, and I think he said he was doing some conditioning, and he injured his Achilles playing hoops. Now, Terrell's coming and saying that he was actually hurt because this is what he did for conditioning, but what do you think? Is this something that's this is good that he's doing this type of conditioning and or it's kind of a freak accident, and or do you think there should be some type of provision written in contracts moving forward that players shouldn't be interacting in these type of particular off-season events, if you will?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I'm not sure if there's a contract. He has a clause in his contract in regards to no basketball playing and things of that nature. But I do think, you know, basketball – is a great workout conditioner and with workout conditioning, and you know, especially with cardio, and helps you to be a little bit more light on your feet and things of that nature. So I do think you can benefit from playing some basketball. This one's just a tough one. Now, whether or not you're playing extremely physical, you know, street ball, I think it needs to be in a controlled environment. And so that's going to be really interesting to see how the Baltimore Ravens handle this. But personally, I don't think it's a bad idea for, you know, football players to use basketball as part of their workout regimen. I really don't, but I would just say, you know, proceed with caution. And I know that may be hard, but I think there are a lot of football players who play basketball in the off season, you know, to try to help them with their conditioning. I think more players should do it. And my personal opinion, I don't think the Ravens should penalize him for it, but more than likely, I'm sure he will be.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, because if you go back and read the actual reports about this, and that in his off-season workouts, he actually played basketball before. This is not the first time he's done this. And it seems like he actually shed a lot of pounds. You know, and I guess this was kind of in reference to him coming to camp in 2009. He came out of came to camp. He was out of shape. So, you know, he comes in, he does these workouts, and he literally came and got into shape. He shed pounds, and then he gets that big-time contract, and then all of a sudden he started playing extremely well. So it is a catch-22, as you said, because here you got a situation where a player was actually doing good things to keep in shape, like you said, has a fantastic year, sheds pounds, does everything, you know, becomes the defensive player of the year, does a great job, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt. So I think it's kind of like a freak injury, if you will. And, you know, like you said, I don't think the Ravens should penalize them, but it's just one of the situations, too, where some teams are just right position, right time. They end up drafting Courtney Upshaw as his replacement. He's going to fill in that position that Terrell Suggs had, and it's, obviously you can't replace him with that type of production, but I think Courtney's going to get a chance to come in and make an immediate impact for the Ravens defense.
Can I tell you another kid they drafted in the second round a year or so ago, Sergio Kendall. I mean, this is a guy who's highly regarded. You know, he got an injury his first year, had to sit out the season. But they have a, you know, they have a high regard for this kid as well. You know, he's got the long arms to play that outside linebacker in the 3-4 position, a good edge rusher. So I think he can get some playing time there as well. I mean, like I said, I know, you know, I don't know if any of these guys are going to be as good as Terrell Suggs, but they do have the prototype, or they do have the prototype size that you look for as that outside linebacker in the 3-4 defense. So I think they could get by this season with having those two guys on their roster.
Gotcha. Real quick, those who want to call into the show, I'm going to throw the number one more time. It's 424-243-9519. Feel free to give us your thoughts. Also, tweet us on Twitter and even post some stuff on Facebook at facebook.com/12thmansports. As well, we'd love to get your feedback and kind of your thoughts as far as how we're doing, anything you want to talk about on the show. Rob, I guess I'm going to skip a quick topic. We'll talk about Scott Shanley and the Saints bounty stuff and how it's being blown out of proportion. And we had an interesting conversation about some punishment that's been going on in the NFL. And looks like the Seahawks were punished as well for having some excessive activities during OTAs. And it's kind of interesting because my thoughts on this were regarding the fact that with everything that's going on, I know with the new CBA, it seems like there's less time for these players to get in and get those workouts in. And like we said, we know there's no off season officially for the NFL, but it seems like this is kind of a catch-22 in that a lot of guys that have all this time off, they're actually getting more injured. And or, like in the case of Justin Blackmon, you have too much time off as a rookie, and then you end up getting into trouble. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it is interesting how you have the Seahawks who are trying to fit as much time as they can getting these guys ready, and they end up stretching the letter of the law and getting penalized for it. So I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, and kind of share your thoughts about this whole inner workings of what's been going on.
Yeah, well, of course, the NFL and the NFLPA, they signed the new labor agreement last summer, and of course they have some restrictions on the amount of activities you can have with the players in the offseason. And, you know, Pete Carroll made the comment, well, you know, we have a young roster and we tried to push them a little bit, to try to get a little bit of an edge in off season. And I just feel like this. I just feel like, you know, if your team want to have excessive practice time, let them have their own practice time. But, you know, the players, you know, don't have to exceed their limit if they don't want to. I think leave it at the players, be optional if they want to exceed what's expected of them with the new labor agreement. And, you know, Seattle, like I said, they got a lot of young players on the team. Pete Carroll thought he was able to get an edge here by pushing them a little bit. And I think that's what he was trying to do here. And, you know, and I mean, it's not a harsh penalty that the franchise suffered. The NFL just kind of taking away some of their practice time. And they took away some of the OTA sessions and things of that nature, but they still have the mini camp time. But I just kind of feel like, you know, organizations should be able to allow to practice when they want, and it's up to the players if they want to exceed their normal time that's expected of them.
So if the players, you think the players will be kind of like the wink, wink, you know that you need some more time from the coach. Is that something, how do you police that if you're the league? You know, is it something where, like I said, wink, wink, you know, if the coach says you need more time, let's get this in? And then is it because of they have a young team, or if you have more veterans, you take more time off? I mean, really, how do you keep track of something like that?
Well, I think, you know, I think the organization should be responsible for keeping track of it. You know, once they exceed their normal time, you know, we've reached our limit of practice time that's expected of you. Now it's optional for you if you all want to continue to practice with us. You know, we think you will benefit if you will stay with us in a program, stay in the classroom with us, get out and do some walkthroughs with us, you know, go through some sample plays and things of that nature, get out on the field a little bit, get some practice reps, quarterbacks, throwing the wide receivers to gain familiarity with one another. And so I just kind of feel like, I just kind of feel like it's a little restricted. And I think in the NBA, you know, you are allowed to practice in the off season with your players as much as you want. And I just think the NFL should be able to do the same thing.
I agree wholeheartedly, too, because as you mentioned, I mean, you don't want these players to get hurt. But, you know, whenever players miss time in training camp, whenever you miss a lot of stuff, I think it actually causes more injuries. So, excuse me. So, you know, looking at everything and how it's set up, I mean, we understand that, you know, the current new agreement, as we mentioned, the new labor that was signed, it was kind of put in place to actually protect, and it actually may be making things worse. And as a fan, you want to see the best players on the field, and you don't want guys getting hurt, and, you know, you want guys to be in shape and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely tough, and we'll see how this new season shapes out, because this is kind of the first year under this new agreement, and we'll see how that affects the play on the field.
Should be interesting. So without further ado,
Rob, you know, we got about 8 minutes or so left. Let's talk about some Saints insider, Scott Shanley. Hopefully I got his name correct for you, sir. About
yes.
How the NFL bounties are being blown way out of proportion. And kind of let's talk about this, Robert. I'm going to kind of put this topic in your hands because obviously you are a Saints fan. And what's the deal? What kind of light is being shed by Scott?
Yes, and I will say, America, I'm a diehard Saints fan, as you all know. And this topic, I tell you what, I wish it would just go away. But, you know, it just keeps coming up in headlines, so we have to talk about it. Scott Shanley, of course, did an interview on yesterday, and he shared with the media that the NFL has totally blown this bounties thing out of proportion. And basically in a nutshell what he said, I don't know, I sent you an article yesterday, Andre, and I don't know if you had a chance to read it. But basically, in a nutshell, you know, Greg Williams is a fiery, motivating coach. And basically what Scott Shanley was saying was that, you know, none of us takes what he says literally. In other words, if we did take what he said literally, we'd all be locked up. You know, he just used it for motivational tactics. You know, I think you and I have had this conversation before. You know, a lot of coaches say, let's go out and hit somebody in the mouth. But, you know, it's not necessarily, you don't mean it in the literal sense. You know, take somebody's helmet off and just go and punch them in the mouth. You know, it's just that's just a physical term for football. You know, fans may like it. You know, fans that don't know the inside and outs of the football game. I mean, that kind of language has been going on in football for years. And so I think in a nutshell, that's basically what Scott Shanley was also portraying in his interview, is that, you know, the Saints were penalized. He said any time that a player on a team had an illegal hit, they were fined internally. And so, I mean, why would we want to make an illegal hit to injure someone if we're getting fined internally for illegal hits and penalties? And so he was just, you know, basically portraying in the interview that, hey, this whole thing is blowing out of proportion. We had a pay-for-performance program, which by NFL standards is illegal. But, of course, we all know that all NFL teams do pay-for-performance programs. Now, you know, he was basically saying that Roger Goodell should not have called this a bounty, should have called it a pay-for-performance program. And that's basically what they ran. And you know, like I said, you know, the NFL is still yet to release any evidence of this whole program. So, I mean, it's still a lot of, you know, he say, she say kind of stuff. But based on all the information I'm getting, it just sounds like this thing has just been totally overblown. And not saying the Saints are totally innocent, but I still think Goodell has totally overblown this whole thing.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, obviously,
I would Adolf Hitler, as I call him.
Oh my gosh! All right. Well, I would, you know, obviously, I gotta give you credit for being passionate as a Saints fan. Now, obviously, I'm coming from more of a neutral situation, a neutral viewpoint from this, and like I said, I think this is kind of how America, not America, but obviously, like I said, this is I'm trying to be very neutral as far as the situation, and I've expressed this to you before. I think, unfortunately, as you mentioned, I think that the Saints, yes, I think that it was a little overboard as far as Roger Goodell and his punishment. But we talk about it, and I think the biggest thing that we have to think about is the intent. Now, granted, I don't think that the intent was to hurt people, as we've talked about, and everyone has this type of thing with bounties, and, you know, obviously it's been out there, and all the NFL knows about this. But whenever you have something like that, I think Roger Goodell definitely made an example of the Saints and said, look, guys, if it's out there, all NFL teams, you guys better stop this. And unfortunately, the Saints are paying a very, very steep price for it. And I don't care if they didn't mean to or if you're getting punished by, you know, just the words and stuff like that, but the intent has a whole lot to do with what's going on, too. So, you know, I may say, Robert, I'm going to beat you up outside, you know, behind the school at 3 o'clock. Now, I may not really want to beat you up, but it's the intent. If you're thinking, man, I'm just going to beat me up, you know, even if I say that, you know, and I'm not going to do it. But the threat is enough for you to be like, all right, and if somebody caught me on tape, and I was like, oh, me and Rob, we joke about beating each other up every day. But the intent behind it doesn't look right. And I think that's kind of where Roger Goodell is coming from. Now, yes, we're still waiting to see if there's any type of physical evidence with this because, as you know, Jonathan Vilma is going off. He's going hard. As far as there's no evidence, where's this at? So everyone, the NFL, we want to see what's going on with this because there has been a lot of things saying that Roger Goodell has proof, but until it gets released in this appeals process, we won't have any idea. And hopefully there'll be enough to kind of say whether or not this has been justly rendered against the Saints, which I don't think it has been. But, you know, like I said, unfortunately, you guys are kind of the first and kind of getting your getting the hammer dropped on you guys too. So, you know, like I said, that's my thoughts on it. I mean, I know you probably want to hear that too, but I try to stay like kind of down the middle as far as everything too. You know,
yes.
If it was my team, I'd be the same. I'd be upset. It's not fair. Yada, yada, yada. It's going on with everyone else. Where's the proof? Insider knows about this and that and that. But it's just, like I said, it's unfortunate that, you know, if you talk about protecting the shield and making sure that the NFL does not look bad in the eyes of the fans.
And I respect your opinion, but basically the point I'm trying to make here is, where is the intent? We don't know if there's an intent. We don't see anything that shows there's an intent. I mean, those of you all that are 49er fans, one of the things Mike Singletary would always say in his press conference when he was the head coach, we need to be physical. We need to go out there and hit people in the mouth. And that's basically all the Saints have said. So if that was the case, I still believe it comes down to this. I still believe Roger Goodell is trying to protect the league with these concussion lawsuits, and he tried to come across like he really cares about a lot of the players. I really still think that's the bottom line with this. But we're going to wrap this up here real quick. You know, hopefully those of you all can stay on and listen for the OT section. We may talk a little bit about this. We still got an NBA mock draft here to talk about. We have some NFC East and also AFC East. Division predictions are going to be coming up. So, and also join us next Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, and 5 p.m. for those of you on Hawaii. And it looked like OKC is going to the NBA Finals.
Wow. Wow. Impressive comeback. Impressive comeback. So Rob's at the table for next week. Obviously, like I said, we got a lot of things to talk about. And, yes, definitely stick around for the OT. We have a lot of things to discuss. As Rob mentioned, we'll jump into his mock draft for the NBA. Post-lottery, and all that fun stuff, too. So, obviously, we're going to debate a lot of things. For those that keep this number for future, 424-243-9519. And also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Check us out, and also check us out via Twitter. Got about 30 seconds, Rob. Anything else you want to talk about? I'm going to get ready to head for the OT.
Oh, stay tuned, people. We still got a lot more sports to talk about. And please join us next week. Once again, like us on Facebook, 12 Man Sports. Follow us on Twitter, 12 Man Sports. Join us next week, 11 p.m. Eastern.
a lot of good stuff to talk about. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As we, like I said, so we're jumping to the OT for those that want to still tune in. And this is another, like, 15 minutes, so just a general sports talk, too. And Rob, as you were talking about earlier, and I don't want to really let this subject go because we're going to keep talking about this every week. This is such good fodder, too, for everything, too. And just the thing that I think that we're going to agree to disagree about is just, you know, we know that we're not going to physically go and hit anybody in the mouth and play physical or anything like that. I think that that's something that we understand the metaphors as far as, you know, we got to play hard, you know, I want to hit him so hard I'm taking his heart, whatever. You know, there's certain things that you want to do to kind of act tough and have that vibrato defensively, you know. And like I said, the thing that still doesn't sound right, and I know you can talk to this point, is that the intent as far as, like I said, whenever we're talking about, you know, specific body parts, or if I'm trying to, like, aim for an ACL or if I'm trying to aim for a head or certain things like that, you know, even if the intent may not be like that or just words, it just still doesn't look good. And I think that's kind of the thing that we still have to look at. And
exactly.
Like I said, and you know, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think that the judge, you know, the punishment fits the crime, and I'm going to stand by that. And I do think, like you said, that unfortunately, you know, you guys got the brunt of it, and I think it's to make you guys an example. And that's what I really.
Well, that's clear.
Thinking.
We know that. That is definitely clear. That's definitely the case.
So, you know, that's kind of where, you know, it's not fair. You know, the Saints can say all they want as far as, you know, this evidence, yada, yada, yada. And I think it's kind of like, you know, Roger Goodell saying, I don't care what you say. I'm the commissioner of this league. What you did was not right, and it's not going to be tolerated moving forward, you know, in the NFL. And so I think he's kind of like willing his fist over the situation. He's like, you know, somewhat. And you know, some people are saying, well, show us proof. And Roger may be like, you know, I don't have to show you proof because this is definitely a black eye on the NFL. And like I said, it sucks. Saints fans, I apologize. And this is me, seriously. I mean, I'm a Falcon fan, but, you know, I truly believe, like I said, I don't think it's right. But I certainly do think that this is Roger Goodell exercising his power and saying, this is how it's going to go down. Do not test me. Don't do this again. All the other teams in the league know this. This is not going to happen again.
Yes, we want to give out just a brief interruption here. Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are the NBA's Western Conference champions, and they are moving on to the NBA Finals. Incredible comeback by OKC. Congratulations to them as they move on to the NBA Finals, and they will await the winner of the Boston and Miami series winner. Game 6 on tomorrow night for that series in Boston. But, yeah, getting back to the Goodell situation, I just think that comes across as I don't see how you can punish someone without showing them any evidence for why they're being punished. And I think, especially in Jonathan Vilma's case, I mean, you're taking away the man's livelihood. You suspended him for a whole season. And you won't even show him any evidence of what he did wrong? I mean, I just don't think that's right. I just really don't. I mean, if you really have a case against this guy, you should be able to show it to him. And by the way, the NFL just announced today that Roger Goodell is going to listen to the players' appeals on June 18th. So that should be interesting in this case as well. But I really do think you should be able to, you know, tell them. I mean, he is yet to give Jonathan Vilma an explanation for why he suspended a whole season. And I, you know, I may be coming across as a Saints fan in this situation, but I just don't think that's fair at all. And I think if you're going to suspend someone, you need to give them a firm explanation of why they're being suspended.
Wow. Like I said, keep tuning, guys, because this is going to be a very hotly debated topic, and only out of respect for Rob too. So this is we're going to keep having opinions on this too, and you know, like I said, I think that it's definitely interesting to see both sides of the issue. And like I said, I want to piggyback on what you said, Rob. Congratulations to OKC. I definitely got to give props to the Spurs. They are a very class act team. I have nothing but respect for them. And I think that OKC definitely grew up in this particular series, and this is definitely the turning of the guards. And I think that this is kind of a next step, and you're seeing an emerging superstar, Kevin Durant, and a guy that can definitely finish. So, yes, LeBron James, take notes. I'm a fan of James, but just this is how a guy can take over a game, too. So,
yes,
I digress.
But to be fair, he's definitely got better parts to go along with him. And so I think, you know, you have to be a little fair. This OKC team is going to be around for a long time to come. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Kevin Durant's 23 years old, Russell Westbrook 22, James Harden also 22 years old. I mean, they keep the parts around these guys. This team has got a chance to be good for a mighty long time. And like you said, you know, congratulations to OKC. The Spurs have had a great run. These guys have won 4 championships. They're a class organization with a bunch of class guys. So you got to tip your hats to them. I mean, they greeted OKC with class here at the end of this game, and that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Gotcha. And like you said, if you were LeBron, I think you mentioned this earlier, and the fact that if he would have stayed in Cleveland, I think eventually they would have got the pieces around him. They would have, you know, obviously drafted, maybe getting that elusive point guard, you know, adding another scorer on him, maybe more of a shooter, if you will, stand-up shooter out there, maybe another slasher or two. I mean, who knows what could happen. But, you know, I think, like you said, OKC did it right. They built around Durant and added pieces to make him stronger and, you know, things we can talk about in the future, obviously, you know.
Exactly. Well, you know, getting back to James with Cleveland, I mean, the one thing I will give LeBron James credit for is he stayed in Cleveland for 2 full contracts and never complained. And he never asked to be traded like what you've seen with Dwight Howard and what you saw with Chris Paul this past season. I mean, the guy played through 2 full contracts and gave Cleveland every opportunity to build a team around him. And they just never quite got it done. Like I said, it just didn't work out for him the way it did for Jordan with getting Pippen. Magic came into the league with players, with Kareem and Worthy, and they got Byron Scott. I mean, he fell right into a situation. Larry Bird fell into Mikhail and Parrish. You know, he just didn't quite have the same kind of luck. And, you know, and of course, you got to give Sam Presti a lot of credit with Oklahoma City. I mean, he's built an incredible roster, the general manager there at OKC. And he's also a Spurs disciple as well. And so he's done an incredible job, you know, putting together players around Kevin Durant, drafting Westbrook. You know what's interesting? The year they drafted Russell Westbrook, OKC took him with the 4th overall pick. Most NBA draft experts thought that OKC reached for him and that he was probably worthy of somewhere around a 10 to 15 pick. And as it turns out, Sam Presti knew what he was doing. And with that draft pick. And then he took James Harden, like 3rd or 4th to somewhere in the same area as well. So, I mean, so an incredible job by Sam Presti.
Good job as well, like you mentioned. We got about 7 minutes or so, Rob, and there's a couple of directions we can go. I don't know if you want to talk about your NBA mock draft or you want to talk about the AFC and NFC West predictions. So let me know where we want to go.
Let's move into our NFC East and AFC East predictions, and maybe we'll have a few minutes to talk about the my NBA mock draft 3.0, just the lottery version this time. I'll have a longer version here in the coming weeks for our listeners.
Gotcha. Thanks for calling.
I'm going to start off with the NFC East and my predictions for the NFC this season. It may surprise a lot of people, but I'm actually going to go number 1 Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to pick Eagles to win the NFC East this season. They came on strong at the end of the season. It was a little bit too late. They got off to a rough start. And I'm going to pick the Eagles to win the NFC East, and I think the Giants are going to finish 2nd. I think the Giants still have a great opportunity to be back in the playoffs. And I'm going to go Dallas Cowboys, number 3. And Washington Redskins will be on the rise with Robert Griffin III, but I think they're going to take up the cellar in the division. And I just don't think Romo is still that quarterback to get you there. So I'm going to pick the Cowboys 3rd in the division.
Wow, Rob, you know, it's like you're reading my mind. I had the exact same order. And I think the Eagles are going to do some damage because I think that they're focused because a lot of turmoil or a lot of talk about Andy Reid not being there, which I think would be a mistake. Andy Reid is probably one of the still a brilliant coach, no matter what. Some people may be a little tired of him in Philadelphia, but this guy's a great coach. Vic is definitely ready to step up. Like you said, they seem to be reloading in the draft, drafting excellent as always. And I think they just had a bad year, a tough year too. So I think they'll get back to what they were doing before, getting that defense solidified, and they just keep retooling. And, you know, I think they'll be first. And like I said, it is surprising that the Super Bowl champs are actually second. But, you know, I think they're riding on a high as far as everything. And in total agreement with you as far as Romo. I'm sorry, Dallas fans, America. I'm not sold on him as quarterback, but I don't know what else you guys are going to do unless he plays himself out of that position or unless they got another guy to kind of take over for Romo. Then, unfortunately, the Cowboys are going to be in that same position. And, you know, like you said, I think the Redskins are going to surprise some people, but it's going to be tough for them to actually, you know, make a lot of moves. I think they're a lot better, surprisingly, with Griffin at quarterback. So I think they're going to have more wins this year. But as you mentioned, they're probably going to be tougher in the cellar. I think they're probably going to be 6-10 or somewhere like 7-9, somewhere like that. I mean, we'll see how it plays out as far as the season. But I have the exact same order for the NFC East.
And moving on to the AFC East, I'm going to still pick those mighty Patriots to win that division and come out of that division number one. And I got a little bit of a surprise for my number two team. I'm going to go to Buffalo Bills. This team is building a mighty, mighty defense, one of the better defensive lines in the league. Mario Williams is now there, Kyle Williams, and, of course, Marcell Dareus is there as well. This team has put together an incredible defensive line, really good secondary as well. I mean, we have to question if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the right quarterback for the job, but I really think this Buffalo team is going to be two. And for all of those Tim Tebow lovers, I'm sorry, but they're going to be third in the division next season.
No!
And also, number four is going to be the Miami Dolphins coming up with a young quarterback. And sorry, Reggie Bush, but, you know, Dolphins are going to be fourth in the division.
Reggie Bush said he's going to lead the league in rushing, Rob.
Yeah, in his dreams.
You know, once again,
LeBron James has a better chance of getting the hairline and then Reggie Bush winning the rushing title.
Oh, wow. Okay, interesting. Look at that. Can't fault the guy for trying to make some predictions and try to motivate himself. But real quick, same exact thing, which is very interesting. I've got the Patriots. They're still the team to beat. Anytime that you have such an amazing head coach like Bill Belichick, you got to give them the props. The Bills, like you said, they've made a lot of good moves. Like you said, still interesting to see what's going on with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, you know, obviously their defense is going to be a lot better. Not quite sure if he is the answer at quarterback, but we'll see. The Jets, you know, like you said, still kind of an up-and-down situation for them. Not sure exactly what's going on with that. I think Tebow is going to be more of a distraction, more of a help, but I think, you know, they'll be more exciting to watch. And the Dolphins, they're definitely rebuilding with a new quarterback, new coach, new kind of a switch as far as their philosophy, so it's going to be tough for them. But like you said, I think everything's looking up for them in the future, so they have some direction now.
Yes, great job, great job. Well, we have a couple more minutes left here on the show. Don't really have time to get to the NBA mock draft, so let's kind of just set the table here for next week. We'll have a full couple of rounds of mock draft to discuss on next week's show, so make sure you all tune in, listen in, 11 p.m. Eastern once again, 10 p.m. Central. For my friends in Los Angeles, that will be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for those of you in Hawaii, that will be 5 Pacific. So make sure you tune in. We're going to be discussing the NBA Finals, which should be all set for next week. Once again, congratulations to OKC on winning the Western Conference Finals and moving on to the NBA Finals. And so once again, next week, NBA Finals, and we will be starting to prep people for football season as we get kind of close to training camp. So make sure you all tune in next Wednesday night.
Any predictions for who's going to win tomorrow night?
I'm going to go with Boston winning tomorrow night, so it's going to be a Boston OKC Finals.
Wow. Unfortunately, that's not good for LeBron. I think I agree with you too. But
he's gonna have to move to another country, unfortunately.
Wow, I got a lot of big guys that are big LeBron fans as well too. Just I'm sorry, Miami Heat. There's gonna be a lot of changes, but this is the prediction that's gonna go down. So we'll see if everything changes. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in. Check us out Facebook, Twitter.